Welcome to Parents Perspective. Mom, began 16-year-old Megan, would it be okay for Matt to stay over for a few days? Her mom looked up from the pile of towels she was folding. Matt? Why? Are his folks away or something? Well, not exactly, Megan shifted her weight and cleared her throat. You see, things aren't so great at his house these days. His dad seems to be really, really angry at him all the time. Matt's afraid something bad is going to happen.
Something bad? Megan's mom replied. I can't believe Mr. Miller would do anything to harm Matt.
Okay, Megan grimaced. Just remember, if anything happens, you had a chance to help.
Just then the phone rang. Megan ran into the hall and grabbed it. Her mom could only hear Megan's end of the conversation.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Miller. No, I haven't seen Matt. Have you checked with Luis and Dell? How long has he been gone? Well, I guess it probably is time to call the police then. I'll let you know if I hear from him. Bye.
I'll never tell Mr. Miller if I hear from Matt, Megan marched back to announce. I didn't think Matt would leave so soon, though. I just can't believe he's actually gone.
Oh, Mom, Megan burst into tears. He's so unhappy. I hope he'll be okay.
From a parent's perspective, what should we know about runaway kids? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today has many years of experience with the problems of runaway children. Ben J. Ermini directs the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's Missing Children's Division, overseeing the handling of over 5,000 current cases in which the National Center plays an active role. Joining the NCMEC in 1989, Mr. Ermini had almost 30 years of law enforcement experience during his career with the Yonkers, New York Police Department. He served as an instructor for the Department of Justice's Serious Habitual Offender Comprehensive Action Program and has received numerous awards and citations for his work in law enforcement. Mr. Ermini has 3 grown children, 2 boys and a girl, and 4 grandchildren. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Mr. Ermini.
Well, thank you for having me.
Can you give us a typical profile of the kind of kid you might label as a runaway?
Yeah, runaways, based on the statistics that we keep, are usually in the age bracket from 14 to 17 years of age. The majority of our cases at the National Center are females.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure. I think it's because very often the young girls are being abused at home, in some cases sexually abused, physically abused. And it seems that in the NISMART study, the National Incident Study on Missing, Abducted, Runaway, and Thrown Away Children, that's conducted by the Department of Justice, and was recently published in 2003, they indicate that the gender of runaways is about even, 50 to 50%. The National Center for Missing and Exploited, in our intakes, we see about a 70%, 70 to 30%, basically females are the highest number of cases reported. So the profile would be white female, between the ages of 14 and 17 years of age.
That's interesting. Why do you think there's this discrepancy between the study, which says 50-50, and the statistics that you were citing?
Well, the NISMART study put everything together into one statistical area of runaways and thrownaways.
You want to explain the thrownaways?
Thrownaway children are basically runaway children or missing children under the age of 18 that nobody's looking for. They haven't been reported to the police. And that in some cases, they've actually been put out of their home by their parents. And so it's a very difficult situation for these kids because they're on the street without a lot of direction and without a lot of assistance. So they become exploited in many cases.
But that's a separate category in your center.
In the National Center, unfortunately, we don't get the reports of thrownaways because there's nobody to report them missing. In most cases, the reason for children running away is the fact that there's something going on at home. There's some kind of family problem. In many cases, it's abuse. In some cases, it's physical abuse. In some cases, it's sexual abuse. And so in many cases, the children are running away to protect themselves.
When they run in this age group, are they likely to stay away for a lengthy time?
When the children tend to be up in age in the 16, 17, and 18-year bracket, I think that's when they stay away longer. And I think the reason for that being is very often children will run away in that age group to be married. They go, to go run away to get married. In some cases, the females are pregnant. They run away. And very often, the children run away because they're having some kind of a problem with their parents. The parents don't like the individual that they're seeing. And the parents very often take issue with the fact that the 16-year-old girl may be going out with a 19-year-old boy or vice versa. And so I think a lot of these kids run away. They run away to get married, and very often they do. They run away and get married, contact their parents in some cases, and tell their parents that they're fine, that they're married, they're going to have a baby in some cases. And very often will not let the parents know in the state where they're located. They're in California or New York, but they will not give their exact location because they have no intention of returning home.
Are there other factors that you might look at that might precipitate runaway behavior, like, for example, mental or emotional illness?
Yeah, I think that a large number of the cases, the children have mental problems. A lot of cases, they are either drug dependent or they have alcohol dependency. They're drinking and also using drugs. We also have another area that we see a tremendous increase in is children that run away as a result of meeting somebody on the internet, where they get into a chat room and they're talking to another individual. In some cases, it's another 14 to 15-year-old child that they're talking to, and they run away to be with that child. But in a lot of cases, they think they're talking to another 14 or 15-year-old child, when in fact they're talking to maybe an adult pedophile or an adult molester that is trying to lure them away. We've had a number of cases that involve that type of situation.
Is there a percentage that you now have of cases that end like that?
No, I don't have any percentages on that, but we can see a very dramatic increase in the number of those cases that we're getting where children are being reported missing or suspected of being missing as a result of some kind of communication with somebody in a chat room on the internet.
How do kids become identified like this and plugged into this whole system where there are now numbers and so forth?
Yeah, they become plugged into the system as soon as they're reported missing. They're reported to the law enforcement agency as being missing, and then the law enforcement agency has a requirement to enter that child into the NCIC system, which is the National Crime Information Center system that's operated by the FBI, and it's a informational system for law enforcement. Within that informational system, there is a missing persons file, and that's where there's actually a federal law that requires that law enforcement agencies enter the child into the NCI system once a child under 18 years of age is reported to the police.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on runaway kids.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Mr. Ben Armini about runaway kids. I remember in the old days, you know, if you couldn't find your kid and then you would, you know, a few hours would pass and you would call the police would say, well, call us tomorrow if you can't find the kid. Mm-hmm. Is that still going on?
That's correct. No, that's not going on anymore, hopefully. In 1990, there was federal legislation passed, and it's called the National Child Search Assistance Act of 1990. And that act requires that law enforcement agencies can no longer have a waiting period. They must immediately take a report of a child reported missing under the age of 18. Back before the legislation was passed, a lot of law enforcement agencies had a policy that they would tell the parents to come back in 30 or 60 or 72 hours. And if the child was still missing, then they would take the report. Mm. The federal legislation prohibits that. And the same legislation requires that they immediately enter the child into the NCIC system.
Now, why is that? What was the impetus for that change?
The NCIC entry? It's extremely important that when a child is reported missing that police enter the child into NCIC, because if the child goes from one jurisdiction to another jurisdiction and law enforcement comes across that child, they would immediately enter the child's name and date of birth into the NCIC system. And if the child is entered, then they will know that that child was reported missing by the other agency. And so then they could start the necessary notifications to get the parents to come and pick up the child.
Isn't it also true, I heard somewhere, that there's some critical period, the first X number of hours when someone is missing, that's the critical period?
Yeah, there was a national study that was done by the Washington State Attorney General's Office, and it was published back in 1997. And what the study looked at was children that are abducted and then later found deceased. And they looked at about 600 cases, a little over 600 cases. And one of the significant findings of that study was the fact that in 74% of the cases, the child that was reported missing was dead within the first 3 hours. So it's extremely important. And one of the other things that came out of the study was the fact that parents waited, I believe it was over 2 hours, before they notified police that the child was missing. So it's really important that when a child is missing, that the police be notified, that the child be entered into the NCIC system as soon as possible.
Which is going to make for a lot of frantic parents out there. It means, I guess, pay attention to where your children are and
exactly.
Know.
Exactly.
What's the responsibility of the local authorities? Who are the relevant authorities? If I were a parent in X city and I had a kid who was missing, how does the whole thing work?
Yeah, I think that the law enforcement agency is basically, it's their responsibility to respond to a report of a missing child and conduct an investigation to find out the whereabouts of the child and locate the child and return that child to the parents. But also, I think there's a responsibility for social service agencies to get involved. I think there's a responsibility for the schools to get involved. I think that, you know, schools need to notify parents if a child is constantly truant from school. I think that's one of the signs that usually leads to runaways. When children are not going to school, they're truant, they're not doing well in school. That's one of the reasons why kids run away.
So how does the school play a role besides, for example, notifying the parents? Is there any way the school could help to find the child?
Many of these schools have school safety officers that are assigned to the school. And I think that maybe the safety officers can get involved in trying talking to the missing child's friends to find out if there's any information about what the child may be doing. But certainly they should be also involved, I think.
So it sounds like there's a whole network that's really available that we as parents need to know about.
Sure, there is.
It sounds like the friends would be the ones who would know about, for example, computer contacts.
Right. Yeah. Now, also, I think it's important that your listeners know that in every state, there is a missing children's clearinghouse. And these are usually organized under the state police or the Attorney General's office. And they do on a statewide basis what the National Center does on a national basis. They're a state clearinghouse. They assist parents when their children are missing or abducted. They distribute posters. They have different services that they can provide to the parents. So parents should be aware of their state clearinghouses. Every state has a state clearinghouse for missing and abducted children.
How do you get into the state clearinghouse?
Well, you probably get there by contacting the state police or the Attorney General's office. And also, there are a number of nonprofit organizations throughout the country. And most states have nonprofit organizations that are specifically designed to assist parents whose children are missing.
Okay. But I think starting with the police is an easy way. Any parent would know how to get in touch with their local police.
Sure.
What are these kids' lives like as runaways when they leave and they're out on their own? How do they get by?
Well, I think that in most cases, if a child doesn't have some place to go, in other words, somebody isn't providing them with food and shelter, and in many cases these children do run to an aunt or an uncle or somebody that's going to provide them with food and shelter. When they're not provided with food and shelter, then they have the necessity to find their own food and shelter. And very often this is when children become exploited. they often become involved in stealing. They'll go into a store and steal food. And very often they'll depend on somebody to provide them with shelter. And this is when, again, when children become involved in exploitation and prostitution and pornography and also in criminal theft.
Because they're desperate and they need help from somewhere.
Exactly. They need to be able to provide themselves with food and shelter.
Do they generally stay in touch with their friends?
I think in some cases they do. Most kids have cell phones now. They're provided with cell phones by their parents. So when they do run away, they're keeping in touch with their friends through the cell phone and in some cases contacting their parents. And that's something else that I think I should mention is the fact that there is an organization called the National Runaway Switchboard. It's a number that parents can call and also children can call while they're on the run. And the National Runaway Switchboard has a crisis line where children can call. It's 1-800-621-4000. And they can get in touch with their parents through the National Switchboard. If they contact the crisis line and give them their parents' telephone number, they will get in touch with the parents to let the parents know that the child is okay. And parents should also contact the crisis line when their children are missing. But the National Runaway Switchboard also assists in providing children with transportation. If the child is on a runaway and wants to return home, they can call the National Runaway Switchboard and they will provide them with transportation home. It's 1-800-621-4000. And they can also have a crisis line through the internet, and it's nrscrisisline.org. Okay. So they can either get in touch with the National Runaway Switchboard through the telephone or through the internet.
Is there a way to protect the child? I mean, I'm picturing here's a child who's running away because of abuse of some kind, and the child comes back, and if the child is lucky, he or she gets interviewed before he gets under the roof mm-hmm. of the home, because at that point, I would guess the interview would be somewhat worthless. And so then these social service agencies get involved, but how can that child be protected from further damage?
Yeah, I think they have to be protected. I think they have to take the step to let the appropriate organization or unit in the local community know that something is going on. And that can also be a role in the school. You know, kids go back to school. That's something that they can go to their school resource officer or their teacher, and they may want to tell the teacher that they are being physically or sexually abused home. Get that information to law enforcement and to the social service agencies so that child can receive help.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on runaway kids.
For an audio cassette copy of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Mr. Ben J. Ermini about runaway kids. We do have young people who listen to our show. We've had kids 11 years old get in touch with us to tell mm-hmm. us how we've helped them help their friends in crisis situations. And I think we need to repeat that it's okay to tell some grown-up what is going on, what is wrong. That's how you get help.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that's one of the points that we try to emphasize with children is the fact that if they feel uncomfortable about a situation, tell an adult, tell somebody that can provide them with help. If it's not the parent, well, then certainly a teacher or law enforcement or somebody that can provide them with the assistance they need.
Do you know any stories about people who've had runaway kids and then they've contacted some of these services and they've been able to turn things around?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of stories that occur. And one of the things I'm so proud of at the Missing Children's Division is the fact that we recover a number of children every day. Many of these children return as a result of National Center involvement. And the way the system works is that The National Center distributes posters. We hope that somebody out there sees the child that's featured on the poster. Contacts our 800 number. Then we turn that information over to the investigating agency, and it's up to the investigating agency to follow up. Now, that happens all the time. We'll send the lead out to an agency. The agency follows up on the lead, goes to the location where the lead come in and finds the child and returns the child to their parent. We have another process that we use that is extremely successful, is targeting distribution. We have a database of about 4 million fax numbers and about 26,000 law enforcement fax numbers and media fax numbers. And so what we can do, we have several organizations that provide us with broadcast fax capabilities. So when we have information that a child may be in a particular location, we can target the distribution of the poster in that area. So we can go in and say we want to distribute this poster in an 8-mile radius of the center of town. Every fax machine will get a copy of that poster. We've had tremendous success as a result of that distribution, targeted distribution. That really works well for us. So we have had children recovered. We had one case, I remember, where a dentist's office got a poster, and it was distributed through the targeted fax. And the one of the receptionists said, well, those kids were just in here a few days ago for a dental checkup. So they contacted the National Center. We provided the law enforcement agency, and the children were located and recovered as a result of that. We have a program with Walmart stores throughout the country. If you walk into a Walmart store, as you walk in, you'll see a bulletin board, and we provide them with photographs of missing children, and they change them every month. We've had tremendous response and success with the Walmart bulletin boards. I think that since we started that program, there's been well over 100 children have been recovered as a result of that Walmart dissemination. So, and we had one case that comes to mind is a teacher was teaching in a community college, and happened to see the poster. I'm not sure if it was in a Walmart store or it was a poster we distributed through our fax distribution, but the runaway child was a student in her class. Mm. And so she saw the child, saw the poster, and contacted the National Center, provided us with the information, and the child was located. Now, the child had reached the age of majority. She was 18 at the time. And so although she made contact with her parents as a result of being located, she did not want to return. So at least she made contact with her parents, told her parents where she was living, and the parents were satisfied that their child was okay. Mm-hmm. But that was a result of a photo distribution.
What resources can runaways avail themselves of when they're away from home?
Yeah, I think that the primary agency is the National Runaway Switchboard.
Would you repeat that number again?
And it's 1-800-621-4000. And that organization was designed specifically to help children that were runaways. As I said before, they can help them with transportation. In some cases, they can help them with shelter, but it's also they can provide them with advice and things to do. And that's another area. If a child runs away because of the fact that there is a problem at home, they certainly have these different counselors and hotline operators that can help them, provide them, or steer them in the right direction. Now, the National Center also has a family advocacy unit, and we have counselors available that can help. And we encourage parents, if the parents have a problem with a child, they need some assistance, we encourage them to call the National Center. Ask for somebody in the family advocacy unit to assist.
And the idea is that these people will try to help the parents change their behaviors and so on without stigmatizing them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way the program is designed, to help these parents, to provide them with some counseling on what they should be doing. Also, I suggest that some of your listeners go to our website, which is www.missingkids.com. And the National Center publishes a number of different manuals, brochures that cover all kinds of subjects, including the runaway subject, where parents can go, and they can go to our website and download these publications that are available on the website, or they can call our 800 number, 1-800-THE-LOST, or 1-800-843-5678. And they can request this type of a publication. And all of our services are free of charge, so there is no cost involved. My suggestion is that they would call our hotline and request a catalog of publications, which is a catalog that describes everything that we publish. Then once they get that publication, they can go in and select the different manuals and brochures that they would like to review. And we'll send them out to them as soon as possible.
If children are not listening to this broadcast, for example, how would they know this phone number?
Schools should let their kids know about the number and how that they can get assistance.
Okay. What about shelters? If a child goes to a homeless shelter, would shelters have this number?
I think so. I think the shelters would also be able to provide them with the number, especially if a child wants to return home. The National Runaway Switchboard can and will provide them with assistance in getting home.
Well, you have provided all of our listeners with an awful lot of assistance. So, Mr. Ben Ermini, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope I can help some children that are on the run and get them back home to their families.
So we hope so, too.
Thank you. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 233. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you are tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents Perspective programs. Parents Perspective is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today, it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send your checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. That's Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. And thank you for helping us to continue to work for you. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.